بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, honored guests, my dear young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, and by sending peace and salutations upon His beloved Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger in the chain of prophets and messengers that began from the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. I'd like to start off by asking all of us to think about an act of kindness or an act of mercy that we have experienced. So if you think back, if you go all the way back to the time when we were born, you know, you think about, even before you were born actually, you think about the care that your mother took and the care that your mother gave you while you were inside her womb. And because there's a lot of things that, you know, she has to be careful about, a lot of activities she couldn't take part in, perhaps certain types of food she had to eat, and this was all for your well-being. Then when you were born, the mercy and the care that was given to you, that was shown to you by your parents, especially your mother, of course, and the staff at the hospital. There were more times when, you know, you drove them nuts, but they still cared for you. The mercy that was shown to you by your grandparents, other relatives, when you cried and they picked you up and they took you to your mother so that she could feed you. The mercy then that was shown to you when you went to school for the first time and you came across teachers who were kind, who were helpful, who took care of you. The kindness and the mercy of strangers who picked you up and gave you a hand when you fell down. I remember the time when I slipped on some ice and I had a nosebleed and had a bunch of strangers come up and help me, classmates as well. The mercy that was shown towards you when you were given a gift. The mercy of the and the kindness of the uncle who would give you a candy every once in a while. The mercy that was shown towards you when you were sick and your mother and your relatives took care of you. Or the time you went to the hospital and the nurses took care of you and the doctor took care of you. The mercy towards you by people who saw you drop something. So if you're carrying a load of books or a bag of groceries and you happen to drop them, most chances are that somebody probably came around to help you and offer you a hand. The mercy of the bus driver that waited for you when you ran for the bus, even though you were late, and he saw you running towards the bus in the rearview mirror and he stopped for a few seconds to pick you up. The mercy of the spouse who took care of you even though you were sick and you smelled and you were in bad shape. And think about all the acts of mercy and kindness that go on a daily basis. Every single day, every single hour, there's someone in this world who's committing an act of kindness and an act of mercy. You know, all the donations that are being given to different causes, people who are helping feed the needy, people who are giving their neighbors a hand, and without any compulsion. Nobody's forcing them to do this. I know a doctor who's a Muslim in the middle of the month of Ramadan. He's in Somalia right now. He's left his family in the month of Ramadan, lives in Toronto. He's left everyone behind, and he's in Somalia right now trying to help do whatever he can. So none of these acts of kindness, none of these acts of mercy are done with compulsion. They're done freely. They're done out of people's own free will, out of their own kindness and out of their own mercy. You know, we think there's a lot of evil in the world today. And there probably is. But there's also a lot of good. There's also a lot of good. There's also a lot of people who have mercy and have kindness in their hearts. People who are merciful. Even animals. Right? When you see how carefully, how kindly a mother, an animal, mother deals with her children. And how animals come to protect one of their own. If you've seen the video on YouTube of the pack of buffaloes and some of their kids were attacked by a group of buffaloes and were attacked by a pack of lions and how they all rallied together to protect them at Kruger National Park in South Africa. That's an example of animals coming together with mercy and care for one another. So there's an enormous amount of mercy in the hearts of the creation. The creation has an enormous amount of mercy combined. Now when you compare that though, when you compare all of the kindness that exists in this world, all of the mercy that exists in the hearts of human beings, in the hearts of animals, in the hearts of insects, when you combine all of that and you compare it to the mercy of Allah, the mercy of the one Lord, it's only 1%. All the mercy that we find in this world, all the acts of kindness, every single act of mercy that has taken place and that will take place in this world till the end, all of that combined is only 1%, 1% of the mercy and compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مِئَةَ رَحْمَةٍ أَنزَلَ مِنْهَا رَحْمَةً وَاحِدَةً بَيْنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ وَالْهَوَامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has 100 parts of mercy. Allah has 100 parts of mercy, of which He sent down one to be shared between the jinn, between the mankind, between the animals and the insects. And by which they are compassionate and merciful to one another. So this one part of mercy, 1% of Allah's mercy, is what enables human beings, the jinn, the animals, the insects, to be kind and to be compassionate and to be merciful to one another. And he goes on to say, and by means of which wild animals are kind to their offspring. Right? Animals are known to be mean and to be cruel to one another. Right? But it's because of this 1% of Allah's mercy, which has been sent down to be shared among all the creation, that even animals are kind to their children. And then he says, وَأَخَّرَ اللَّهُ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ رَحْمَةً يَرْحَمُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That Allah has kept back 99 parts of mercy. 99 parts of mercy have been kept back, with which He will be merciful to His slaves, to His servants, on the day of resurrection. So it's only because of 1% of Allah's mercy that we find all this mercy and kindness in this world. And 99% of it, 99 parts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding back. He's keeping in His own possession to be bestowed upon his servants on the day of resurrection. So this is how merciful Allah is. It's even hard, it's next to impossible to imagine. It's practically next to impossible to imagine how compassionate and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this compassion, this mercy that we feel, is one of the most prominent qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most prominent qualities. That's why among the 99 names of Allah, the first one is Allah. After that, we find Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And when we start something, what do we start with? The recitation of Quran, or when I started this talk, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Right? In the name of Allah, the Ar-Rahman and the Ar-Rahim. And these come from the same root sequence in Arabic, Rahamin, which stands for mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in every single prayer, 5 times a day, we start with Suratul Fatiha, right? The opening. The same chapters recited in every single prayer, and in that as well, Allah reminds us that He is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Rahman being the owner of vast mercy. Ar-Rahman, the only one who owns that much mercy, and Rahim is the one who interacts with the recipients of mercy. So Allah is not the one who's just kept His mercy, all of His mercy for Himself. Rather, He interacts with His servants, He interacts with His creation, and He makes them recipients of that mercy as well. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that My mercy extends to all things. My mercy extends to all things. Meaning that Allah's blessings out of His mercy are spread across to everyone. Are spread across to everyone, regardless of whether they obey Him or not. Regardless of whether human beings obey Allah or not, His mercy is spread out to everyone. You know, when we choose to give gifts, right? So if somebody feels they're in a very generous mood one day and decides, okay, you know what? I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna spend $1,000, and I'm just gonna give gifts to whoever I feel like giving gifts to. Now you're not just gonna go around, drive around the block and just give everyone a gift, right? You're going to want to give it to people who you have a good relationship with, people you know from before, people who have been kind to you, people who have listened to you, and you have, you know, some sort of value for. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not discriminate based upon who He likes and who doesn't like, or who listens to Him and who doesn't listen to Him. Rather, He gives to everyone out of His mercy in this world. So in this world, everyone can benefit from Allah's mercy. And that's why, you know, we all get to eat, we all get different blessings from Allah, things that we share, and we get to enjoy every day of our life. And just like He has given us our material needs, right? So our material needs are taken care of through Allah's mercy. Yes, we do work, we go to school, we go to work 9 to 5 or whatever it is, we have businesses, we try to earn money, we save money. But all of this is given to us by Allah. Ultimately, it's Allah who's allowing us to have all of this. So just like Allah gives us our material needs, the tools we need to survive, He has also given us all human beings, guidance on how to live. Because that's also important. That's also very important, right? Just as we need our material needs, we also need spiritual guidance. We need to know how to spend our lives in this world. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and His compassion, has also given us guidance on how to do that. Beginning with the first prophet. Right, so the first prophet, Adam alayhi salam, was the first one in this chain. Then Allah sent a number of other prophets, right? So we see Prophet Noah, right? Ibrahim, Abraham, Ismail, Ishmael, Ishaq, Yusuf, Joseph, Musa, Moses, Harun, Aaron, Jesus, Isa, peace be upon them all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all of these prophets as a source of guidance and a source of inspiration for all of us. And then He ended that chain with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who Himself is described as a mercy to the entire universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, that I have not sent you except as a mercy to the worlds. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been sent as a mercy to the universe. So this means that his entire existence, every single word, every single action, every single deed, every single teaching, every single move, was a mercy upon mankind. All the way from the major teachings of how to worship Allah, right? How to live properly in this world, how to restore the rights of one another so that we can attain Allah's mercy, from the major teachings to even the smallest of things. The smallest of things, even the most minutest teachings, point towards His being a mercy. And how we ourselves should also be a mercy upon this earth. And when we look at His examples, I'll give you small examples. So for example, back in the days, people would carry arrows with them. So if they're traveling, right, they would use bow and arrows, right? Or they would use arrows for their protection. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed people. He said, when you walk through markets, for example, or through the mosque, meaning places where there are people, be careful, hold on to your arrows from their heads. Why? So that no one gets hurt. So that no one even accidentally gets hurt by the arrows that you are carrying with you. When he's leading prayers, and he gave advice to imams and people who are leading prayers, that don't lengthen your congregational prayers. Don't make them too long. There may be people who are old. There may be people who are ill. There may be women with children whose babies are crying, who might need to look after them. So when you lead your prayers, make them short. Dealing with elders and with children, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not respect our elders, whoever does not respect our elders, nor shows compassion to the young ones, is not one of us. Whoever does not respect their elders, and does not show compassion, does not show mercy towards the young ones, is not one of us. Once our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw that one of his companions grabbed a chick of a bird, right? A baby bird, a chick. And the mother began screeching over the heads of the people, right? Because when you snatch away the baby, right? Of anyone, of course. But animals too, they'll start getting worried, right? Animals do cry as well, right? If you see a cat lose her kitten, she'll cry, she'll weep. So this bird got so worried and started screeching and started crying. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who bereaved this bird of her child? He got upset. He said, who took away this child from this bird? Return her child back to her. So thus, you know, was the compassion and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just limited to human beings, or not just limited to believers, but it would extend to all of the creation. So we are believers in Allah, the Most Merciful. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent as a mercy to the universe, and now we're in the blessed month of mercy. Right? So you've got everything going for us in terms of mercy. And Allah's mercy is being beamed down upon us. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in an extra merciful mood, and His mercy is being beamed down upon us. All we need to do is tune into it. So all we got to do is tune into it. So you need to get on the same frequency, right? Get the right equipment, and we can tune in. Right? So what's the equipment? We've got the tools. Right? We've got the tools, we've got the equipment. You got your prayer. Right? You got your fasting. Right? So the prayers, the night prayers especially, the obligations, of course, the obligatory ones, but on top of that, the extra night prayers, fasting, charity, all of these are tools for attracting Allah's mercy. These are all tools for attracting Allah's mercy. And the frequency, the right frequency to be on, is the one on which Allah can hear us sincerely, and we feel Allah's presence. So we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. And we feel that yes, Allah is present. Yes, Allah is watching me. Yes, Allah is aware of what is going on inside my heart. We feel this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the frequency we want to be on. And then the best way to increase the intensity of the mercy being down upon us, it can be increased. Right? You can give it a boost. How do you give it a boost? You become rebroadcasters of that mercy. You become rebroadcasters of that mercy. So you don't just take the signal and keep it to yourself. Rather, you pass it on to others. Check this out. The Prophet ﷺ once kissed his grandson, Hassan ibn Ali, radiallahu anhuma, while a companion, one of his companions of the Prophet ﷺ, was in his presence. So this man was in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet kissed his grandson. So this man said to him in amazement, he said, "You kiss your children?" He asked the Prophet, he said, "You kiss your children? I swear by Allah, I have 10 children. I have 10 children and I have never kissed any one of them." So this man saw the Prophet ﷺ showing love and affection to his grandchild, as he would do to practically all children. And this person was amazed, he was surprised, he said, "You know, you're actually kissing your children? I have 10 children and have never even kissed one of them." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man la yarhamu an-nas, la yarhamuhu Allah." That he who does not show mercy to others will not be shown mercy by Allah. Even in the smallest things, like the kissing of a child, out of love and affection, there is a lesson for us. There is a lesson from the Prophet ﷺ that he who does not show mercy to others will not be shown mercy by Allah. In another tradition, another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." That those who show mercy to others, the Rahman, again we find that word, the Rahman, referring to Allah, will show mercy on them. Irhamu man fil ard. Irhamu man fil ard. Show mercy to those on the earth. يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The one in the heaven will show mercy to you. So what is the advice of the Prophet ﷺ? Show mercy. Be merciful to the beings on this earth. To the beings, to those on this earth, right? So not just human beings, not just believers, but to those on this earth. And the one in the heaven, the one above, will show mercy to you. So the key to being continuous recipients of Allah's mercy is to be merciful to others. What's the secret to receiving continuously the mercy of Allah? Is to be merciful towards others. So that's why, you know, over the last little while we've tried to start different projects here, right? So that's why we have the ISK volunteer team, right? The team of volunteers that goes around to food banks, to soup kitchens, to help out, to be merciful towards others. That's why we started Gardens of Mercy. So if you haven't checked it out, we have a garden just outside this way. And I'm pleased to say that, alhamdulillah, we donated our first batch of vegetables last week. So I dropped it off at Martha's Table. We had some zucchinis and some tomatoes. And inshallah, there are more that are ripening up, and we'll be donating that as well. So the point of all of this is to start spreading mercy to others so that we can also become recipients of Allah's mercy. So this Ramadan, most of us will be pleading with Allah for His mercy. We'll be begging to Allah for His mercy, which is something we should definitely do. Absolutely. But let's go one step further. Let's go one step further to reform ourselves. Ramadan is a time for many wonderful things. It's a great opportunity. And it's a wonderful opportunity to reform ourselves. So that we become a true embodiment of mercy. Right? We become what mercy really means. So what does that mean? It means that we spend our life in such a way that our presence becomes a mercy for those around us. Right? Not only do we try to do things which are good and we try to be merciful towards others, but rather our entire existence becomes a mercy for those who are around us. So for example, we become self-reliant, right? Minimize our dependence on others, right? We try to do things ourselves. Instead of expecting others to do things for us, we should try to do things ourselves and try to do things for others as well, right? So we become self-reliant so that our expectations from others go down. And we minimize our dependence on other people. So we look after ourselves. So if we eat, right, at home, in the evening after iftar, your dishes, your plates, or for example, we have an iftar party here, a community iftar here tomorrow night. We had one last week as well. Try to look after yourselves, right? Try to clean up after yourselves. Our presence should not be a burden for others. Right, my presence in my home should not be a burden for my mother or for my wife. Right, Allah has given me two hands. I can pick up my own dishes and spend 2 minutes to wash my own dishes. Okay, when we eat here, we can pick up our plate. Right, and first of all, we shouldn't be leaving food. But if you do have some leftovers and you don't want to eat them, you can't take them home, then we put them into the green bin. Okay, and we throw our plate away ourselves. We should not be a burden for others. Sure, there are volunteers who may be cleaning up, but can't we do that much? Right? This is also a part of mercy. Have mercy on the people who are helping out. Have mercy on the volunteers. Why should they be doing everything for you? Can't you do it yourselves? Right? So small things like that. If you're at school, and if you're at work, try not to ask favors from people. Try not to ask favors of people. Instead, try to do favors for them. Right? Become relayers of mercy. If somebody asks you for help, asks you for a favor, try to help. Right? Try to be merciful, but try not to ask others unnecessarily, unless you really have to. Unless you really need help, or there's something you can't do, or it's really tiring for you, or something very difficult, then fine. But otherwise, try to do things yourselves. Be a mercy to your neighborhood. Right? Be a mercy to your neighborhood. Not just by, you know, giving gifts and being kind, but be compassionate. Right? Be compassionate. Don't cause disturbances for anyone. Right? You're going home late at night after prayers. Neighbors might be sleeping. My neighbors are all sleeping when I get home, right after prayers every night. And because it's summertime, their windows are open. And believe me, noise travels very far at nighttime. Okay, because it's very quiet. So you be careful about that. You don't want to be a disturbance and annoyance for your neighbors. Rather, you want to look out for them. You want to look out for them and be a source of mercy for them. So if their garbage can is flying around in the wind and they're going to work, or the recycle bin for that matter, you know, it doesn't take much to pick it up and put it by their door or by their garage. Simple things like that. So the point is that we try to find ways to make our presence a form of mercy for others. Our entire existence, our entire presence should be a form of mercy for others, not a form of a burden or an annoyance for others. And once you start doing that, inshallah, you will see how Allah's mercy starts descending upon you. And again, the point is that no action, no word, no deed, no movement of ours should be bothersome to others. Nothing that we do should bother others. And if it needs to, right, it should be minimized as much as possible. Minimized as much as possible so that we become a mercy to others, we don't become an annoyance and a burden. And I want to end with a beautiful example of this. This past week, you know, we saw a lot of ugliness in England. We saw a terrible amount of ugliness in England. And, you know, there were riots, and it was very, very bad. It was very terrible. But within all of that, within all of that, we find a beautiful example, a tragic example, but nonetheless a beautiful example of being a mercy towards others and not being a noise. And that is of our brother, Tariq Jahan, who is a father in mourning today in England. And that is because his 21-year-old son, Haroon, was killed in the riots while protecting stores from being looted. So this young 21-year-old man was standing there trying to protect stores, shops from being looted, while the crowds went on a rampage and rioted and looted. So this young man was killed, and his father stood in a Birmingham street and pleaded with the community, with his community, the South Asian community, the Muslim community, not to seek revenge. Can you imagine the hurt and the loss that this man is feeling? Suddenly, in the month of Ramadan, out of the blue, his young 21-year-old son, with probably a life ahead, you know, full of opportunities and expectations, is suddenly lost in this senseless violence. Yet the father stands in a street in Birmingham and he pleads for people not to seek revenge. And he says, I quote, "Today we stand here to plead with all the youth to remain calm, for our community to stand united." And the Anglican bishop of Aston, Andrew Watson, went to community meetings, he went to the mosque to meet with the Muslim community. And he tells CBC News, and I quote, "There were many people in this meeting speaking up in terms of not rising and standing above what has happened. There were also voices angrily encouraging some kind of retaliation." Because people were upset, right? A young man from their community was killed while doing nothing wrong, while protecting stores from being looted. So people were upset, and a lot of people were encouraging some kind of retaliation. Then the bishop goes on to say, "The one thing that tipped it," meaning this tension in the room, "the one thing that tipped it is the father of the youngest man to be killed," this brother I just mentioned, "saying it wouldn't do his son's memory any good at all if more violence were to be perpetrated there." So his father stood up in the meeting and said that, "Look, it's not going to help. It's not going to help in any way, not my son's memory and nor any other way, if we resort to more violence in our communities." So the point is that it takes one act of courage. It takes one act of mercy to make a difference. So this Ramadan, from now on, let's try to think about how we can turn things around, how we can become more merciful, so that every single action, every single word of ours is a form of mercy and is not doing the opposite effect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the month of Ramadan. May Allah shower us with His mercy in this blessed month and beyond. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a source of mercy and compassion for our families, for our co-workers, for our colleagues, for our co-students, for our neighbors, for our community, for our city, and for our country, and for this world.